Last week we were thinking about verse 6 of this very short letter to Philemon, which says, and here's a very literal translation, it's not exactly what you'll see in front of you there in verse 6, but it's just an over-literal translation, where Paul says, I pray that your sharing in the faith, your fellowship is the word he uses, your fellowship in the faith, your participation in the faith, that is, of course, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, may be effective. Well, so wrote Paul the Apostle. He was under house arrest in Rome. Can we have that map up just for a moment? Over there in Rome, he was under house arrest, and he was writing to his dear friend Philemon, in whose home in the town of Colossae, a group of quite new Christian believers had gathered to listen to two letters. We heard from the first of them a little while ago in our reading, two letters that had just arrived from Paul all the way over there in Rome. And this little letter is the second of those letters, and as we've seen, it's particularly addressed to Philemon himself, the person in whose home the believers had gathered to listen. I pray that your sharing, your fellowship in the faith, Philemon, may be effective. And what we were thinking about last week, wasn't it, was that Christian fellowship, and that's what it is, it's this sharing together in what I don't hesitate to say is the most wonderful of all human experiences. Deep, confident, genuine trust in Jesus Christ. There is no experience to match that. It'll take you through everything. It will enrich everything. It'll take you through death. Sharing in that experience, well, that's powerful. It makes a difference. And what we are going to see as we continue in this little letter is that it makes a difference, particularly in difficult situations, in difficult relationships, like the kind of situation that had arisen for Philemon, and that's what we're getting in to understand. See, among Christian people, difficult circumstances arise. That's life, isn't it? Difficult relationships develop, or you might say difficulties in relationships develop. Hard things happen. We find some changes that take place difficult. We find decisions that are made that might affect us hard. These things happen. That's life. And of course they do. And Christian churches are not immune from the difficulties of life, those kinds of difficulties. We're not immune from sadness. We're not immune from disappointment. We're not immune from disagreements. Sometimes we experience within our Christian churches even a measure of bitterness or resentment or disillusionment or getting offended or getting hurt. And what I'm wanting to suggest this morning is that it is particularly in difficult situations that we should pray that our sharing together in faith in Jesus Christ will be effective. And what I really hope we will see very clearly this morning is that this is not just a call to be nice to each other. It's actually much deeper, much richer than that, because the question is how? How does our sharing together in faith in Jesus Christ actually make a difference? How does this fellowship work? And what we are going to be finding is that Paul's brief letter to Philemon is a brilliant case study that we are going to be exploring two more weeks in this little letter. Last week, you might remember, we saw that Philemon was a businessman who lived there in Colossae, And some years earlier, before this letter arrived, some years earlier, while he was down at the coastal town of Ephesus, he had come to faith in Jesus Christ. It happened through the astonishing public teaching that Paul was doing there in Ephesus at the time. But some years have passed, and now Paul is under house arrest in far-off Rome. And there, Paul has actually met, we don't know the circumstances, we can sort of imagine what might have happened, but it'd all be guesswork. But somehow or other, Paul met Onesimus. And Onesimus is the thieving slave who has run away from Philemon's household in Colossae. And Onesimus fled all the way to Rome, where he met Paul, and Paul did what he did. He led Onesimus to faith in Jesus Christ. And so the situation we have, I think, really is quite intriguing. We've got these three very different men. I want you to try and picture them. There's Paul, the apostle, arguably one of the most significant men in the history of the world, it will turn out. Paul. Then you've got Onesimus, the runaway, thieving slave. And thirdly, you've got Philemon, his rather wealthy master. But now, these three men were Christian believers. How would their fellowship in faith in Christ be effective? What difference would it make? How would it work in what is now, and you can start to imagine it, what is now a kind of difficult situation created by what Onesimus had done? Well, this week we're going to focus on verses 8 to 16, and there are kind of three headings that are going to unfold, and we're going to begin to see the fellowship at work in the relationships between these three men. First of all, we focus on Paul and Philemon. Paul and Philemon in verses 8 and 9. So on the one hand, Paul says in verse 8, accordingly, he's writing to Philemon, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you, Philemon, to do what is required, just pause on that for a moment. Remember who Paul is? Paul is an apostle. That meant that he had been sent by Jesus Christ to speak for him, to speak with his authority. That's what an apostle is. And as such, Paul was never timid. You know Paul, you've read other parts of the New Testament. He was never timid about issuing instructions or warnings or rebukes and from time to time commands when the occasion warranted it. And when he did that, it came with the full authority of his Lord. And so Paul says to Philemon in verse 8, in their Christian fellowship, right, he uses the words in Christ, Paul could command Philemon to do what is required. That would be perfectly appropriate. Except in verse 9, he takes us a little deeper. Verse 9, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. There may be a place in the Christian fellowship sometimes for commands. But there's a better way. A better way for our fellowship to work. I appeal to you, says Paul to Philemon. I encourage you. That's what I want to do. I could wield authority, but I'd prefer love to work. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment because it seems to me that it is utterly extraordinary. See, faith in Jesus Christ is an experience of the love of God. That's what it is. It's not just a feeling. We have seen God's love. As the Bible puts it, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Well, what happens when we who know God's love meet someone else Who knows God's love? Well, God's Holy Spirit, who has poured God's love into our hearts, binds us together and enables us to love one another. And dear friends, if you are part of the Christian fellowship, you've tasted this. And Paul says, for love's sake, I don't want to command you, Philemon. That shouldn't be necessary. That shouldn't be how it works. I appeal to you. And as though to underline this, we're yet to find out what he's going to appeal to me about. That'll come next week. We're just going to take this slowly, you okay? To underline this, he adds in verse 9, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you. This is an old man speaking. I'm starting to relate to this. An old man in chains, that's a bit different. He's far away in Rome. He has no intention whatsoever of wielding authority or power over Philemon. He's not going to force him. No need for that. Because of love, I appeal to you. This is something very important. Christian leaders today, who are much less important than Paul, and much less in a position to be giving commands, I believe Christian leaders should take notice of this. There may be, from time to time, a place and appropriateness to use authority, but that was never Paul's preferred way, and it shouldn't be ours. For love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. And church members, we should be careful not to put our leaders in a position where they need to assert authority. Because of love, we should be responsive to godly appeals and encouragement. See, we're beginning to see how the fellowship of the faith, fellowship in faith in Christ, works. Now that's just a little bit of a glimpse of Paul and Philemon. Secondly, in verses 10 through to 13, we see a second relationship, Paul and Onesimus. So verse 10, he says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. I've been trying to imagine the situation of this letter being read in Philemon's home. The first letter has been read, this letter is now being read, this second one. And I sort of imagine an awkward silence in the room at the mention of that name, Onesimus. Everyone knew that Onesimus had run away from Philemon's household. They probably knew about the robbery. Onesimus had come back from Rome to Colossae with Tychicus. Tychicus was the one who brought the two letters and was now reading out the letter. I can't imagine just exactly what the situation was like, but I like to think of it like this. In Philemon's house at the time, as the letter was being read out, I imagine Onesimus was there, but he was probably out of sight. He was probably behind the door or something, out in the corridor, in the shadows. And perhaps I like to imagine as we get to verse 10 and Tychicus is reading out Paul's words, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. And I wonder if he then beckoned and brought him into the room. And there was a hushed silence as Onesimus was there. This was a difficult situation. The runaway slave, the thief, now with the effrontery to appear under Philemon's roof. But the first thing that Paul wanted everyone to know about Onesimus was that Onesimus had become Paul's spiritual child back there in Rome. Paul had led him to faith in Jesus Christ. See, Onesimus, yes, he had left Colossae a criminal, but he was coming back a different man. And Paul adds, as though he just wants to make clear he understands the situation, verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. We noted last week, do you remember, that the name Onesimus means useful. I was reading this week and I gathered that it was quite a common name among slaves, probably given to them by their masters in the hope that they'd live up to it. Useful. But Onesimus hadn't. Useful was useless. Perhaps he was a troublemaker. Perhaps he was lazy. Maybe he was dishonest. Maybe he was all of these things. And I wonder whether Philemon was particularly distressed when Onesimus ran away. Except, of course, that he stole from him at the same time. But, Paul insists, Onesimus has changed. He's become useful to you and to me. Now, more about that in just a moment. Now, I'm aware as we talk like this today, we do have difficulty with all of this because of the serious problems that we rightly have with the very idea of slavery. I can't explore that now, except to point out that the very difficulties that are raised by slavery for us, and they ought to be raised, make this a particularly striking case study, don't you think, of the power of Christian fellowship. Here we see not just two men who become Christians and become good friends. No, it's much more than that. We've got two men who have this very difficult history. The useless slave and his master, whom he had robbed. Now, both believers in Jesus. How will their fellowship in the faith become effective? Here, in this difficult situation. Well, Paul hasn't finished what he wants to say about himself and Onesimus. He clearly wants Philemon to get it. Look at verse 12. He says, I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Now, this is astonishing, don't you think? The affection of Paul for Onesimus was deep. It's like sending you my very heart. You get a glimpse of the power of the fellowship of faith between these two, Paul and Onesimus. Paul, the intellectual, Paul, the learned, Paul, the great one, Paul, the one that the whole of history will be affected by, and Onesimus, the Gentile, Paul, the Jew, Onesimus, the Gentile, the low status slave who'd run away, who'd robbed my very heart. One more thing. Verse 13. He says, I would have been glad to keep him here with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. Paul was certainly not sending Onesimus back to Philemon because he wanted to. Onesimus was doing, do you remember from last week, what Philemon had done years earlier in Ephesus, helping Paul in his gospel work. Onesimus had become an MTS worker. Even while Paul was a prisoner, the gospel work was going on, and Onesimus had indeed become useful. And so what are we seeing? Paul's relationship to Philemon, we've had a bit of a look at that. Paul's relationship to Onesimus, we're beginning to see the fellowship of faith in Christ working. But it had become complicated. How was Paul's relationship, or Paul's fellowship, I should say, with Philemon, Onesimus's wronged master, going to affect Paul's relationship with Onesimus, the runaway thief? See, two-way relationships are often easy, aren't they? Or at least easier. It's when you get three people involved. it can start to get complicated. And that's what the situation we've got here. So in verses 14 to 16, thirdly, we see how the three men will be impacted by their fellowship. So my third heading I've got here is Paul, Philemon and Onesimus, verses 14 to 16. So verse 14, he says, "But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, Philemon, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will." In a sense, we're going back to what we saw in verses 8 and 9. Paul didn't want Philemon to be forced, either by a command, that's what he said in verse 8, or by some preemptive action on Paul's part, keeping Onesimus with him, verse 14. Philemon's goodness, whatever Paul has in mind, we haven't learnt that yet, but Philemon's goodness was to come out of Philemon's heart. It wasn't to be forced from him. That's how the fellowship works, you see. Now, we still haven't heard what exactly Paul was hoping Philemon would do. Before he comes to that, and he will, but we will only do that next week, but he has one more thing to make clear. Onesimus, well, he may well have been a useless troublemaker earlier. He may well have broken the law by running away. He may well have stolen from his master in the process. All that may be true. What I want us to see, the details in one sense don't matter so much except to see what a messy situation it was. You've been in messy situations. I was in one recently, I remember commenting, this is a messy situation. Well, you sort of can't see your way out of it. What do you do here? Whatever you do, someone's going to get hurt. This is a messy situation. But Paul knew that everything that happens to us, even the messy situations, even the wrongs that we might suffer and feel, they are not outside God's control of everything. See, in the worst of circumstances, we know that God has a good purpose. That's what he's like. Well, Paul now has a guess as to what God's purpose might be in this situation. Verse 15, "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Our God has a way of bringing good out of bad. Every Christian knows that. How good would it be if the runaway thieving slave became a loved brother in the Lord to the man that he had wronged, precisely through his running away? That'd be a God-like kind of outcome, wouldn't it? The way God works. Bad stuff's happened. Good comes out of it. How good would it be if the master that Onesimus had never really liked very much became his beloved brother in the Lord? And friends, what we're seeing, this is how the fellowship in faith in Christ, now we're thinking about Onesimus and Philemon, could be effective. Now next week we're going to hear exactly how Paul hoped it might work out. And it really is remarkable. I'm just hoping you don't cheat and read ahead. That's not allowed. I've found that the best way to encourage people to read their Bibles is to tell them not to, if you notice that. But for now, just this week, let's take in the wonder that we've seen. Let's just pause and take it in its seriousness. A Jewish apostle of Jesus Christ, who will turn out to be one of the most important men in history. A Gentile, previously pagan, businessman, and his useless thieving slave have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Something very powerful happens between people who share faith in Jesus. See, one of the things I think we're seeing here, isn't it? One of the things we've got to get knocked out of our heads is the idea that this can be simply a private experience, me and my relationship with Jesus, me and my relationship with God. That's my Christianity, that's my Christian faith, and that's not possible. Can't be like that. It is not possible for two people to share together this most wonderful of human experiences, faith in Christ, and remain unaffected in their relationship to one another. No matter how different we may be, no matter what difficulties from the past there might be between us. Friends, I want to set some homework this week. We don't set homework most weeks, but there's some homework this week in preparation for what I think is the utterly remarkable conclusion to this little letter that we'll come to in a week's time. I want to ask you, and very seriously, to take time to make an effort to consider your relationships with those who participate with you in faith in Christ Jesus. Those who know, as you do, the love of God. And I'm particularly suggesting that we focus on our family of congregations here at St. Thomas's North Sydney. And I want to ask you to do something that I know is not easy. Indeed, it can be very, very, very hard. And it's this. Don't think about the relationships that are okay. But think about those that are difficult. Where perhaps, who knows, there's some bitterness, there's some resentment, and there may indeed be really good reasons for such things. Some offence, some hurt. And let's begin to think about how being people who know God's love, being people who share faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how that has to change things. And how it can. Let's pray together. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful little letter that we're immersing ourselves in at the moment. We thank you for this episode in the life of Paul and Philemon and Onesimus. And we thank you that what we're seeing here, not in exactly the same way, but in very powerfully similar way, has happened millions of times since the day that this letter was read, where the fellowship has been effective, where sharing together in faith in Jesus Christ has changed things. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that that might be true among us more and more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.